speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
You know, whenever we look into the Scripture and we study what it is that God has laid before us by way of inspiration, there are so many different lessons that we can learn from a number of different angles in the way in which God presents them to us. And especially whenever we focus in on people that God shares not only their names, but instances in their lives. I love to be able to read and to study about the various people in the Bible and the different things that God shows us about these people because I can relate with them. And I also trust and know that every single one of us can relate with most of the people, if not all of them, that we find in the Bible. The Apostle Paul is one of those people. Whenever we read and study about the Apostle Paul, we first come to know him as Saul of Tarsus. And the Scripture identifies is that he was a man who was very zealous towards God, as well as in regard to Judaism, he was still wrapped around this, even though Christianity is now abounding. And he felt 100% that he was doing right in the sight of our God. According to what we find, though, in the book of Acts chapter 9, the Lord appeared before him and reveals to him by blinding him, getting his attention, and also having him led into Damascus that which he thought was right was indeed wrong. And now he is identified as a chosen vessel before God to proclaim Christ unto the Gentiles, and in like figure, now that he's come to learn these things, he must obey the Lord in baptism in order for him to gain and to maintain a relationship with our God. When I read and study about the Apostle Paul, I am very encouraged to find the change that we find in this man's life. I'm excited to see the different things that he left behind in order for him to move forward in his relationship with God, as well as in what it was that God had in store for him to do in the kingdom, to preach primarily unto the Gentiles. And the Bible also identifies to us is that the Apostle Paul saw the Lord in a vision, and he was told that he would speak before kings tonight. I want to express that I believe that at least partially this is fulfilled in what we find in the context of Acts chapter 26 when he spoke to King Agrippa. In this lesson, I want us to examine four lessons that we find from the life of the Apostle Paul to identify what is said in the context with reference to him, but also I want to challenge each and every one of us to answer the question as to what we find with him in regard to this, who are we? How do we parallel with what we find here about the Apostle Paul and the things that God shares with us about this man? What is there that we can learn for our lives? When we think about him standing before King Agrippa, I believe that the Bible wants us to understand that the Herods that have ruled from the time of which the New Testament begins until the time of the Apostle Paul, these Herods had done much harm in the past. Take into consideration Herod the Great. During the time in which Jesus has been born and Herod learns about this, he is troubled because he knew that the Messiah was coming. He had heard these things and therefore he's fearful for his throne. And what does he do? He ordered the killing of babies because he was attacking Jesus Christ, our Lord, or so that was his intention. Also think about Herod Antipas. It was Herod Antipas, was it not, who had John the Baptist beheaded. And we know that he was a worker of God. He was a forerunner for Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then again, we can factor into this is that Satan was using Herod Antipas against the plan of our God. And then also think about Herod Agrippa I, who's responsible for the beheading of James. And then we have Drusilla with Felix and now Bernice with Agrippa. And in the context of what's going on here, Paul stood on trial And when he's standing on trial, what is it that he's doing? He's really and truly not done anything wrong. He's not violated the laws of the land so much as I can see. And by all means, he stood right in the sight of God because he has launched out in preaching and teaching Jesus. And therefore, what he's doing is that he's having to give a defense of what he has done because of what it is that he has experienced in regard to his forgiveness of sin, as well as what it is that has been revealed to him in relation to Jesus Christ our Lord, and how that God has called him unto this very end to proclaim Christ not only to all those individuals that he had been preaching and teaching to, but also with respect to the people that he's in front of, even unto this very hour. You see, Paul looked to the situation that he was in, and he saw that this was a part of God's plan. And therefore, we find is that he stood in a very courageous way preaching and teaching Christ. What do we find about these leaders? We understand that Agrippa and Felix, they thoroughly interrogate this man. Whenever I say interrogate, I'm going to assume that that is a word, a term that most of us, if not all of us, is familiar with, but yet at the same time, I'm not going to assume that assume everything there. To interrogate means is that they have put him on trial and that they have looked over the entirety of his life, the scope of his life, who he was before becoming a Christian, I would take, as well as who he is now and what it is that he's been doing, not only in preaching, but how that this has stirred the world up that is before them. And I believe that that's really and truly what it is that these individuals, as well as others, had most of their issues with whenever it comes to the Apostle Paul. How did he respond in a very courageous and bold way? He didn't hesitate to teach, nor do we find that he softened his lessons. Now the Scripture says that he, meaning Paul, reasoned about righteousness with Agrippa and Felix. He reasoned with them. In other words, he understands what it is that God expected him to say concerning his relationship with God. But also, he reasoned with them in reference to what it is that has been taught from days of old and how these individuals even had heard the prophets. Do you believe the prophets? I know that you do. And in respect to the matter, not only what the prophets had said, but the fact, as was read in our scripture reading a few moments ago, is that none of these things were done in a corner. They were before the world, and therefore, Paul, as he's speaking before Agrippa and Felix in this context, and many others, he's reasoning about righteousness and self-control and the judgment that is to come. Why did he do that? Because Paul realized that someday he would stand in the presence of God to give an account of his life. But he also realized is that even Agrippa, Felix, and all these also were souls who would someday stand in the very presence of God to give an account of their life. And he wanted them to know that they were living in sin and that they would stand guilty before God in the day of judgment unless they were to become as he himself were. And that is a New Testament Christian. Brethren, God expects you and me also to be courageous in our stand. No matter who interrogates our lives, no matter who comes after us at whatever point in our lives, no matter how much persecution we face because of our relationship with God, no matter where it leads in our lives to mental anguish and even physical pain, God says that we need to always be courageous. And in order for us to be courageous, to have courage to go through all of these things that Satan uses against us, our faith in God must be there. Our faith in God must continue to abound more and more, to be stronger and stronger each and every day, because if we do not, then we will not be the courageous people that God calls upon us to be. But my friends, also, I want to draw our attention to what we find in regard to the Apostle Paul, is that Paul had constraint. Festus accused Paul of being mad. And usually, whenever we look at that word mad today, we think that of an individual who's angry. And he's not using it in that context. We still also use it in the context of which is applied here, but not so often. And what he's really saying, you're crazy. He's saying too much learning, too much study has made you crazy, Paul. Why? Because it went against what it was that Agrippa, even though he'd heard the prophets, what it was that he really and truly believed. It went against his flow of life and the flow of life for the majority of people in the world. And therefore, whenever Paul has changed from persecuting the church to now being a member of the body of Christ, whenever he's come out of Judaism and embraced Christianity, Festus and all these others saw him as a crazy man, that what he was doing was not right, and that he needed to be woken up with respect to these matters. Note the context. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Beside yourself, meaning that you're not in a right frame of mind. Much learning has driven you or is driving you mad. What is he doing? Essentially, correct me if I'm wrong, but essentially he's mocking him, is he not? He's mocking Paul for what it is that he believes. And he's ridiculing him for what it is, not only that he believes, but the things that he has been teaching. He says, Paul, in essence, if I'm reading this correctly, you're a madman, you're crazy. And you need to wake up because you're looking silly in the stance or in the belief that you're now holding to. I find it interesting in this context that Paul didn't hurl back insults to this man. He could have easily said, Festus, you're the crazy one. Festus, you think that you're a leader? I don't think that you're much of a leader. He didn't do any of that, but rather what he does is that he identifies in regard to the context, I'm not mad, but rather I'm speaking the truth. I'm preaching the Word of God is what he's saying. I'm telling you what God wants you to know in order for you to come out of where you are, in order for you to gain and to maintain a relationship with God of which I myself am enjoying. But he said, I am not mad. And he held his cool and he stayed true to what it was that God's plan was for him. The world in which you and I live in doesn't believe the way in which you and I believe that is the majority of the world. And the people who are not churched at all, the people in this world who are atheists especially, or agnostics, skeptics, they're going to mock us. They're going to ridicule us. Why do I say that? Because they have. And if you're around one from time to time, you're going to see that they'll gladly do that. They mock and ridicule us because of our belief in God. And it's tempting, is it not, to come back and to say, well, the Bible says you're the fool. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, but we need to make sure that we say it in love. Amen. And whenever it comes to people in the denominational world, in the religious world, they like to tell us, do they not? Oh, you're a Church of Christ. You guys are the ones who think that you're the only ones going to heaven. Brethren, they're not complimenting us whenever they say that. They're mocking us and they're ridiculing us. And of course, we are the church, the Lord's church. And we must only do things as God commands us to do. And yet at the same time, in the truth that we hold, and while we must come back with answers, with a response to what it is that they're saying, we don't want to play the same games that they're playing. Amen? We need to make sure that we have constraint, that we handle ourselves, that we stay cool, and that we stay true to God's plan, because it's only then and there that we're going to be able to have inroads that hopefully will lead to bring others to Christ before it would be eternally too late. But brethren, also, I want to understand from this context, I want us to understand from this context that Paul had confidence. There was a time whenever Paul had false hope, when he was holding on to Judaism and Christianity was in place. He did everything with a clear conscience, as he says himself. And he felt as if he, being a descendant of Abraham, as the rest of the Jews, is that it didn't matter who he was or where he went or what he said, what he did, is that he had a relationship with God. And that was false hope that was revealed to him in part there in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, in the discussion there in Damascus with Ananias. And then the Lord revealed that false hope continually to him, I believe, as he worked continually in the kingdom. Paul's salvation in Christ, though, gave him true assurance, because whenever he came to understand what it is that he had represented in the presence of God before becoming a New Testament Christian, he realized the need to put all that behind and now to embrace fully what God wanted him to do. And this gave him confidence to move forward in his life. It was confidence, I truly believe, that led Paul to invite others to be like him. Isn't that what's going on here in this context? What did Paul do? And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, Festus and Agrippa, not only you, but also all who hear me today, might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except in these chains. Paul says, I don't want you to have these chains that I have, but I want you to become as I am. And Paul's saying, he's not saying, I want you to stand on trial and to go through the interrogation. That's not at all what he's saying. But what he's communicating is, he says, I have conviction and confidence. You call me mad. You say I'm crazy. I'm not at all crazy. I'm a believer in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And not only do I believe that and have this confidence within myself, but I want you also to have these things. I want you to be, and others to be, just as I am in Christ. We find this confidence not only in this context, but in the overall context of this man's work. He spent the remainder of his life living for heaven, did he not? Living with eternity in view and taking the gospel unto the entirety of the world. Brethren, also from this context and the broader context of what we know about this man's life, is Paul had contentment in regard to the relationship that he had with God. Paul stood in a situation here in the book of Acts chapter 26 that was less than ideal. Who in their right mind would want to stand before a king and have to give a defense of themselves for what it is that they've been doing in life, right? Who in their life would like to be incarcerated? I've been into the local jails here, and whenever we lived in Pennsylvania, I went back into the state pen and studied with individuals, and I remember every time, Ray, that they closed those doors behind me, I was glad that they opened them up again and I got to come out. Nothing at all excites me about that. Nothing at all is drawing to that end. And Paul was in a situation here where that his life is on the line. His freedom is at stake. Now, sometimes whenever he was incarcerated, he had liberty to come and to go. But always, always there was restraints to the works that he was able to accomplish. And in this context, the situation that he was in, it wasn't ideal at all. Paul was in shackles, does he not? I want you to be even as I am, except for these chains. That shows us, does it not, is that he was in shackles and that he was facing imprisonment. And Paul did not express a desire to be like others. He didn't say to Agrippa or to Festus or to anyone else, I want to be where you are. But he says, I would that you also would be as I am, meaning in regard to the relationship that he had. Whatever state I am, Paul said, that I learned to be content. Paul was not happy, I think, whenever he was in these situations. Paul was not filled with great joy. Now, there is that angle where count it all joy, brethren, whenever you fall into temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience, James chapter 1, verses 2 and following. But from a perspective where he is, I don't think that he was excited with the situations that he was in this context in Acts chapter 8. Not at all. However, he was content, meaning that he understood that this was a part of God's will for him to go through it. And what is that saying that we hear from time to time and maybe even say, if God brought you to it, God will bring you through it. And that's certainly what we find to be characteristic in the life of this man. He was a madman. So that's what he was accused of. But above all, he was a man who was focused fully upon our God. Are you a person who's focused upon God? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Have you confessed Christ as the Son of God? Have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If not, why not do that tonight? Are you a Christian? If you are you faithful in regard to your walk with God? If not, why not respond and receive the prayers of the church tonight that you might be forgiven and to be restored in that relationship with God once again, so that you can have the same hope that Paul had and that Christians abroad have in our walk of faithfulness with God. If you hear this hour and subject to His call, please come now.